Hello and welcome to another Lush podcast. My name is Charlie Moores and today I'm talking with Sue Williams, a co-founder with her partner Trevor of the Fox Project, a charity dedicated to the Red Fox. The Fox Project is based near Tunbridge Wells in Kent and was established in 1991 as a specialist wildlife information bureau and humane fox deterrence consultancy. It has incorporated a wildlife hospital since 1993, which today admits and treats around 700 foxes per year. The Fox Project appears regularly on TV, radio and other media, both in the UK and internationally, and has received awards from the RSPCA, the International Fund for Animal Welfare, media and TV. The charity is honoured to have Chris Packham as its patron. Sue and I talked in June 2016, almost 25 years to the day since the Fox Project was launched, and I began by asking her if she could really believe that the charity was now a quarter of a century old.
No, I can't believe it, actually. I think the lines on my face may give that away.
35 if a day. You must have started this very early.
Five or later. Thank you for that.
So what was the idea behind the Fox Project when you started? Because it has changed a little bit, hasn't it?
It's changed completely because it was supposed to be an information bureau.
Right.
To dispel the myths and silly stories that were put out largely by the hunting fraternity but also perpetrated over generations about what foxes may be, how they may act, and to encourage people to live alongside foxes, to accept them as part of our natural wildlife. But then we started to get phone calls from people who would have a sick or injured fox in their garden. And we thought, well, we ought to try and help if we can. And here we are 25 years later, dealing with around 700 foxes a year.
700. You get about 250 cubs a year, don't you?
Yeah. It varies from year to year, the cubs. And I think this year we're around the 150, 160, but we're not through the season yet. So cubs are still coming in pretty much every day, but we're not getting families, whereas we would get the little tiddlers, a little, you know, 3 or 4 days old at the start of the season. Now with walking wounded or not walking wounded, as the bigger cubs start to forage and roam further afield.
I want to get back to how they get wounded in a second, but you give each single fox a name, don't you? That must be difficult over the years.
Well, no, actually, you'd never run out of names.
Right?
It may seem sort of whimsy, but actually it's much easier to remember a name. The name will normally attach to something to do with where the animal came from, be it the rescuer or the road name. The cub that we have here at the moment, the little one, Noddy, comes from Slade Green.
Oh, so from Noddy Holder?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's quite simple, isn't it?
And so we know Noddy came from Slade Green, and I wouldn't remember where Noddy came from.
It's association.
It's word association.
That's a really good idea. Yeah. And he did try and sing for us a little while back.
He did, yes. Yeah, probably wouldn't give up the day job, but yes.
Possibly not. But then people might have said that about Noddy Holder back in the day. So the foxes that come into you, have they been abandoned in the main or have they been injured in the main?
It depends on how old the fox is. If it's an adult, it will have been injured, sick or injured. If it's a cub, it could have been abandoned. More misadventure for the vixen. The newborns that come in very young, 3 or 4 days, people seem to have this thing of taking down a shed. At the beginning of spring, households go out into their garden and think, I'm going to take that shed down. And there's a litter of cubs underneath. And they didn't know they were there. Well, we can sometimes get the vixen to come and take her babies. And we've been quite successful at that over the years. If you give her a bit of time, if the cubs are put in a cardboard box with a hot water bottle underneath and just monitored from a distance, and the vixen will come and take her babies. But sometimes she doesn't. And cubs that are very young cannot survive. They don't retain their own body heat,
right,
and they'll get hypothermic very quickly. They need feeding very regularly. So if they've not had a feed, they have to come in. Sometimes mum will abandon a cub if it's sick. Could be something simple like a little chest infection or an infected wound, It could be something far more serious, congenital problems. But she knows there's something wrong with that cub and she will leave it behind, which sounds harsh.
That's nature, isn't it?
It is, because she has her own, she has the other cubs to think about, and she doesn't want...
There are scarce resources often. And
you can't afford to waste it on a sick cub. Sometimes we can deal with those issues that the cub has, and sometimes we can't. If they have encephalitis, which we get a few of each year, which is basically water on the brain, it's fatal. It's a slow but fatal congenital problem. Broken bones. They can overcome broken bones if they're well aligned, if those bones are well aligned. So we can, you know, it's not always insurmountable.
When you started 25 years ago, did you know about encephalitis and how to fix a fox's broken bone?
No, didn't know. No, it's really learning on the job and with the support of vets.
Right.
And also working with other wildlife hospitals that had been in existence, you know, before us. Shared knowledge is really important.
Yeah. Every time I speak to someone who's in this trade, if you like, the support they've had from other hospitals, everybody learns off each other, don't they? I'm not a big fan of the word community, but it is a community, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a community. It's a small community. We would like it to be a lot bigger.
Yeah.
But there aren't that many people doing it, really. So we tend to know other organisations all over the country over the years, obviously 25 years.
Yeah.
We've sort of dealt with a lot of other organisations. We've helped them and we still support some fledgling organisations.
Well, I was going to say, because you've got a very good reputation, so presumably people are coming to you for advice and help now. Probably for a long time, actually.
Well, yes, I suppose. It's hard to gauge, really.
Very modest.
Well, you know, it's hard to think about how much we really know. If we can help other organisations and support them at the start, then great, because other organisations helped us.
Yeah.
So what goes around comes around.
Yeah.
It's only fair to
pass it on.
And to help them get on their feet.
When you said that cubs are coming in injured, what sort of injuries are you seeing?
With cubs, if it's possible to find trouble, they will find trouble. You have the physical injuries. They could be head injuries from being hit by a car, infection from small wounds that have grown and become a real issue.
It's the larger animals that are getting stuck in things like snares.
Yes, and snares, and also we do, well, again, the adults will get hit on the road, may not be killed, but they'll drag themselves off. They can get caught in garden netting. They can get caught on fencing. Never worked out how an adult can wrap itself around a stock fencing, but that's
once they're trying to escape, they kind of twist themselves in circles.
Yeah, some really nasty injuries, and even simple wounds can become infected and become massive wounds. Then you get fly strike in the summer. The wounds then become a really big issue. They can have eye problems, ear mites, ear infections.
Mange as well and things like that, I suppose, is a big problem sometimes.
Yeah, mange is a problem. It's easily treatable. If you can get the fox before it's too far down the line, we can treat it. It's not really the mange that kills a fox, it's secondary infection, because they scratch themselves and they open up sores and wounds.
And the sores get infected.
The sores get infected and the fox is compromised then, and that's it.
Do you try and treat every fox that comes in, or are there some foxes you look at and you think, you know, in reality, this animal's in pain, there isn't anything we can do about this?
To be fair, on occasion an animal will come in and you just know that there's too much. Too many problems, too much injury, that you're not going to get that fox back up on his or her feet and back out there. So you have to sort of make a decision.
A very hard decision to make.
Sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't, because sometimes it's blindingly obvious that the animal's in big trouble. There's nothing you can do fast enough to make things better. There are other times where, well, you're really damned if you do and damned if you don't. Because you'll have a fox where you think, well, we'll give it a go. And then 3 or 4 days later, you're having to call it a day, take the animal to the vet, because you've got nowhere. And you think, I should have done that 2 or 3 days ago. But then you'll have another fox that you think, we'll call it. And then you fret about it afterwards thinking, should we have maybe given them more time? And you really, sometimes you cannot win. We try and make that decision as collectively as we can sometimes and bounce off of each other so that you're all trying to make the best decision with what you see in front of you.
You said earlier about people coming out, pulling down their sheds and finding foxes underneath. Does it still surprise you that people can have foxes in their gardens and not even realise it?
It doesn't surprise me, actually, no, because they're very, very good at keeping themselves tucked away if they really don't want to be seen. And the vixen will keep herself very tucked away if she's got cubs. It's only in now, sort of June, July, August, going into summer, when the cubs are bigger, they're roaming and foraging, playing out in the garden. People go, oh, I've got foxes in my garden. I didn't know they've been there. You just haven't seen them.
Vixens are quite noisy at times, though, aren't they?
Certain times of the year, they're noises.
Scream like a banshee is what it's normally.
It does make you wonder whether, you know, this thing of foxes killing babies or killing cats comes from not a visual record, because no one's ever seen it, but it's the sounds.
Made.
And it goes, well, then something's killing a cat out there because it sounds awful. And it does sometimes sound dreadful.
We've got them near us.
I can remember many moons ago when I was living in shared accommodation and somebody there said, oh, sounds like somebody's killing a baby in the garden near this dreadful, dreadful noise. So, yeah, they do make what sounds like very aggressive, scary, violent noises, really, but it's all just noise.
What's the first reaction then when people do discover that they have foxes in the garden? Because there's still this myth around just what you've been saying there about foxes taking babies. I mean, the foxes won't even attack a cat. They'll get clawed if they do. But people still think like that, don't they?
They do. You get an article in the newspaper, which is a national newspaper.
Then we all know which one you're talking about.
We all know which one, yes. We know which one I'm talking about. And it does a lot of damage. A lot of misinformation spreads fear, mistrust. It's totally unhelpful, not only to foxes, but to people, because it creates fear in people that is totally misplaced. And so then you have to try and explain to someone that, no, the fox will not bite you if you go out in the garden. It will not bite your child. But you're dealing with individuals. You know, the newspaper reaches however many thousands of people in one hit. We can only deal with one person at a time that calls us.
Trying to turn around the image of the fox is an incredibly difficult thing, isn't it?
It's very difficult, because there's always a voice against us all the time, where we're trying to put the message across about what the fox really is, what it does. There is still a section of our society that it doesn't serve their purpose to have that message across. Yeah, so
you're being very careful here, aren't you? See, I can tell. No, absolutely. So you've been going 25 years. There are lots of other societies. There are lots of other projects as well that are trying to turn this image around. But it is proving to have a lot of traction, this idea that foxes are dangerous animals. Mm. They are just part of our natural background, and that's the way we should look at them.
It is. And I think other animals do suffer from a bad image. Rats, for instance, suffer from a very bad image. And that's instilled in us from very, very young. And I think the same with foxes, you know, the cunning fox, the sly fox, Fox who kills the fluffy bunnies. And they tend to suffer a negative image, which comes from as we're growing up, we get this negative image. The reality of what something is difficult to push.
Your foxes that come in, when they're healed again, you always put them back into the wild, don't you?
Yeah.
Given that foxes still have this image in some people's eyes, do you come in for criticism for flooding the countryside with vermin?
We have a reward which we've had for many, many years. There's this silly story that circulates every year, which is somebody is going into the countryside with a van, driving a van, opening the back doors and letting out hundreds and hundreds of foxes. It's complete nonsense, but it pops up every year like daffodils in spring. And we always say, well, did you get the number plate? And no one ever has, which is strange, really, considering how often this van full of foxes has been seen. A lot of people are happy to have their foxes back. You know, although there are a lot of people that are fearful of foxes, there are a lot of people also who are friendly to foxes.
Yeah.
They feed their fox in the garden. It becomes part of their daily routine, if you like. They like to see the fox. And if the fox is injured, they call us. And if we can get that fox better, they like to have him or her back.
You've got release sites on farms as well, haven't you? So there's this idea that all farmers hate foxes, but that isn't true either.
No, it isn't true. There's no black or white to all of this. There are all kinds of grey areas. And some farmers are enlightened, and arable farmers particularly, they're quite happy to have foxes because foxes will help to keep down
the rabbits.
Their rabbits and rats and that get in the grain stores. We even have some chicken and sheep farmers that are not bothered by them. They will feed their foxes a way of dealing with fox problems for them. It takes a bit of lateral thinking, but to say, well, I'm going to put food for the foxes way over there, and then they don't come and bother us, and it works. It sometimes needs to be thought through about why foxes do.